Thank you for listening to this teaching from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To learn more about our church or to download more teachings and resources, please visit bayridgechristianchurch.org.
If you've seen some of those prayer things in your bulletin, Jeff and I have been working on the last several months of putting those prayer things in there once a week, a new prayer bulletin to give a sort of focus for the month of what we might be. Want to pray concisely within a certain topic within a month, and then within the week, we put several verses that might apply to that specific week. We also put in reference to other topics, or I'm sorry, other people that are referring to that same theme that we're working with. And we put those in there because we want to give you other references besides ourselves. We want to find other people that discuss this very topic through the ages, because we're not the first people that came up with prayer. Throughout the ages, people have been praying and been very effective in prayer. And so when we see that effectiveness and it's written, we'd like to highlight it and bring it to our attention to use it in as we meditate on prayer during the month. So if you see that in there, you'll understand why it's there. Now, one of the references that I think has been there recently, and I think I've put in there a couple times, is George Mueller. How many have heard of George Mueller? From Bristol in England. A man who followed God with his whole heart. He desired to walk in God's ways. And so in doing so, and as he followed God, God led him from, I think, was it from Prussia originally? Eventually he ended up in England, following God's ministry where God led him, and eventually starting a ministry to orphans. And he wanted to get God's word out at the same time. And so in his desire to follow God, one of the things you read about him is his faith in God's provision. Because what he didn't do, he didn't advertise all the time and said, hey, we need money. He didn't go down to the local governor's office and say, hey, we need money for this thing here. He didn't say, if you send us money, we'll send you this little vial of olive oil from Israel, like we might do today. But what he did, he said, God said he would be my provider. And if I trust in him and I trust to follow him as God leads me, he will provide. And one of the things that George Mueller, as I'm reading, as I'm looking at, is the trust that he had in the authority of God and what God would do, and especially God's name. And so yesterday I was actually doing a study on God's name too. Say, what is it about your name, O God? And Jesus, what is it about using your name? When we pray and we say, in Jesus' name, what are we really saying? Are we being just like a little stamp of approval for ourselves to say, okay, since I say in Jesus' name, he'll do it? People might pray in Jesus' name, but what does it mean, though? What does it mean when we actually use it? Faith in God, but how much faith? Now, I'd like you to try something tomorrow or sometime this week. I'd like to go wherever you go to do your banking. I'd like you to go in there, go to a teller. I don't know if they have them anymore. Some of them have little electronic things, tubes you got to go to somewhere. But fill out a form and say, I'd like $1,000 in Perry's name. How many of you think you're going to get some? My wife might, because she's nowhere we bank, and she can put her name down. However, you're not going to get very far, are you? You're not going to get a whole lot. And so what is my name worth to anyone? Now, when we pray and we ask things in Jesus' name, what is important about his name? What are we banking on? And what's in the bank that we've seen put in there that we can ask in his name and he will do it? How important is his name? This fits in with what Brett's been talking about out of Jesus' prayer in John 17. And we'll continue a couple of verses that he already covered 2 weeks ago, but we'll look at it in a different context. And so this is our main text. You won't have any slides today, so sorry about that, but you have your Bibles, or you can listen. Our first text we're going to start with is John 17, 9 through 12, and verse 20. John 17, 9 through 12, and verse 20. Jesus says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. This is Jesus praying to his Father. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. He's referring to God's name. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Transfer of authority, same authority. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. And then later on in verse 20, the reason I put this in here, because Brett used this last week, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Father, I just pray today. Your name is above all names. We praised you already today. We declared your name today in our worship, O God. And Jesus, we said your name is higher than any other. Sometimes I don't know that we walk in that. And sometimes, Father, I know that we're not vessels worthy of you putting your name on us. But, oh God, make your name real to us today. Show us the power of your name, because show us the person who's behind the name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I really do ask that in Jesus' name, because he's able to do what we just prayed to do. What is the significance of Jesus' name? One of the things I figured the best way to look at it is look at how God's name is used in the Old Testament, and then we'll see. Because that verse in John 17 said the name that was his, that's what Jesus prayed, and then the name that was given to him. Let's see what the name is like in the Old Testament. If we go to Genesis 4, we read about the sons of Adam and Eve, the first two sons, Cain and Abel. It does not end well. And at the end of the chapter, they have a third son, Seth. And then Seth has a son, he names him Enosh. And in verse 26, we read that his son, he has a son, and it says at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. They're calling on the name of the Lord. Who are they calling on? What's the name of the Lord they're calling? And then we move along to the call of Moses at the burning bush. Now, we have done a series in the past where we actually talked about the different names of God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, a number of the names of God specifically as he revealed himself to specific people in different ways. What we're talking today is about the general knowing of the name of God. That when we speak God, we say God, we pray to you, O God, God knows we're referring to him. So this is Moses in Exodus 3:13-15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name that you shall call me from generation to generation. And then in a few verses later, Moses is told to go to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and tell him that the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. God has already identified a people by his name. They are the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Hebrews. The people of Israel. Will God reveal himself to other people? Yes, he will. He's going to reveal himself to Pharaoh, but he's not going to reveal his name as a name of relationship with Pharaoh in Egypt, because his name has been revealed to his people Israel. It's who God is in his power, as he takes one thing after another, plague after plague after plague, and he deals with the people who reject God, the God of the Hebrews. God will show that his name is above every other god. As God takes out one plague after another, he's attacking the gods that they depend on in Egypt. But God says, my name's above all of them. And I will lead my people out of this land, and they will people be for my name and my name alone. We see this even further, the significance of God's name in the commandments, the third commandment. We see that in Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The King James, you might know it pretty well, is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do we take the name of the Lord of God in vain? Our society does. We shouldn't. I was thinking about that, how we use that. When we ask, if in vain, we say God to damn someone, what are we asking him to do by his name? We know the future of what's going to happen to the wicked. They're going to spend an eternity without God, without Christ, in torment. Do I want to say that to people? Do I really want that of people? No. No, I shouldn't want that at all. And when they use God's name in that way, what are they doing? They don't know God. They really don't know God. And they don't know what the impact, if God decided to choose to follow out what they said, what would happen. We're not supposed to use God's name in vain. We'll read even further how important God's name is to Israel in 2 Chronicles 6, 5 to 11. David wanted to build a temple for God's name. And God told David, no, I'm not going to have you do it. And it was given over to Solomon. And this is Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 6, 5 to 11. Since the day I brought my people out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city in any tribe of Israel to have a temple built so that my name might be there. Nor have I chosen anyone to be ruler over my people in Israel, my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there, and I have chosen David to rule my people Israel. My father David had in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father, David, you did well to have in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood. He is the one who will build the temple for my name. The Lord has kept the promise he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. And I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the people of Israel. Where did God make his name known? You could go to other countries around Israel. Would they see God there? No. God didn't make his name there. Israel is supposed to be a place where when people look to Israel, they would say, I recognize their God. And what should happen is as they recognize their God, the alien should come and say, I want to be part of your God. Your God shall be my God. Your people will be my people. Who's that from? Ruth. Ruth does that and goes back and makes the God of Israel her God. The name of Israel's God will be her God. In fact, when they go into the promised land the first time, when they get to Jericho, they find out from Rahab, the prostitute, that the people there are shaken in fear. Because 40 years, the Israelites have been wandering around in the desert because they've been under punishment from their God because they haven't listened to him. But what's been going on over in these people over here in the promised land? They're afraid. Why are they afraid? They've heard about the God of Israel. God is known already there, and they're shaking because they've heard of what has happened to other people. They've heard what has happened in Egypt when God brought punishment down to the Egyptian. They are afraid. And if you read further into Joshua, you'll find out further reactions of people like, uh-oh, one people had to try to trick Israel, the Gibeonites. They had to try to trick Israel so that they wouldn't be wiped out by the God of Israel. God was known by his name. Even if the people didn't follow, God was still known by his name. God chose Jerusalem and the temple to be synonymous with his name in the future. God chose that. We see this Even in the next chapter of 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, verses 14 and 16. And you know this when you pray. You've heard this voice, this verse tied to prayer before, at least verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. What a promise by God. My eyes and my heart will always be there. I will always be present in the place where I put my name. That will come up later because there's importance to that because we have the name of Christ. Where Jesus places his presence, where he places his name, in us. But if Israel does not honor God, we read verses 19 and 20, but if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I've given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land which I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. People would pass by in the future after God destroyed Jerusalem, after God destroyed his temple, and they would say, look, look, that's supposed to be the powerful God of Israel. That's how the people looked at it. The name of God was profaned. They pursued other gods. They burnt children to the fire for Moloch. They profaned God's name. They chased after other gods like prostitutes. They profaned God's name, and God said, if you do that, I will remove my name. Because my name is holy. We sang about it earlier today, God's holy name. It's not just a minor name. It's not just something you can use like my name to go to a bank and not get anything. It's more than that. God upholds his name. And we see that all through the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament. Jesus' name is the foundation of our faith. Actually, this verse is, I think that's what Colleen read earlier. Some of them. Romans 10, 12 to 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Israel. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What is the good news? The good news is of Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. That if you believe on his name and call on his name, you shall be saved. Period. That's it. That's the powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's a foundation of our faith. It's not a minor thing. What did it take for Jesus' name to be powerful that we could be saved? It took Jesus dying on the cross for us. That the power of his name was not just maintained in himself and in of the Trinity, but also extended to us, his people. We see the power of that name on the day of Pentecost, when Peter speaks to those in Jerusalem. In Acts 2, 36 to 38, it says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It could have been more in fact than that. What shall we do? If you're cut to the heart, what do I need to do? What do I turn to? What do you offer me? Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of this Holy Spirit," the Holy Spirit. Foundation of our faith. Believe in Jesus Christ's name. And we see this even, his name and power used a couple chapter later when Peter uses it in Acts 3, 2 to 6. Acts 3, 2 to 6. "Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.'" What happened? He stood up. His ankles were strengthened. He started praising God. And the people all around knew what this was. They knew this guy. And they're amazed. And then Peter preaches the gospel message. It's because of Jesus Christ that this has happened. How did they know Jesus' name like that? How did they know the name of Jesus? That they could speak his name like that and it would have that result. If you just came up to me and asked for money, would you get it? Well, I might if I know you. But this is beyond money. This is salvation. This is healing. This is other things in the name of Jesus. Not just a little stamp, there's something more. And the reason they know of Jesus is because they walked with him 3 years before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. They knew Jesus. They knew his name. They knew the power of his name. Later on, we'll read in Acts where a bunch of Jewish guys are trying to cast out demons and they try to use the name of Jesus and Paul. And the demon says, "I know Jesus. I know Paul. I don't know you at all." And they chases these guys, beats them up, and they run off, and they just run off, and they're in a mess. The name of Jesus was not a light thing to have. It was built out of relationship, and Paul knew Jesus. There's effectiveness in it. So this is what Peter does. "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Now, how is this explained? In the next chapter, Peter explains this miracle to the elders, the teachers of the law, and the high priest in Jerusalem the following day. Peter explains this the next day. Because they have Peter and John brought before them and being questioned them. "By what power or what name did you do this? How do you heal this guy? What are you doing?" Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Allah? No. Some Hebrew God? No. There is no other name by which we can be saved except Jesus Christ. How powerful is that name? The rest of eternity, the rest of what's going to go in the future is based on the name of Jesus Christ. If people go out here and they go into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ, they will not spend eternity with Christ. See, because we speak the name of Jesus, but our desire is not only to have the name of Jesus, but we're looking for him personally, face to face. We sang a song about that. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you more. And I want to know the name of Jesus behind the person. But there's a whole group of people. In fact, it says the narrow way is to know knows Christ, and there's a broad way of people who don't know Christ. They're the ones who won't know the name of Christ. If you don't know the name of Christ today, I'm going to put this out there. If you don't know the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to know it today. Come to know Jesus today. He will save you thoroughly for eternity, and then he'll start showing what his name represents in other areas of your life. If you don't know Jesus, this is the day to know Jesus Christ and his name. And we see through this example of Peter, we see healing and we see salvation offered in the name of Christ. So when we pray and you say, why do we pray for people to be healed in Jesus' name? We are asking Jesus to step into this. We are asking, so he does have an authority. When we read through the New Testament, we read about Jesus healing. Does everybody get healed? No. That's one of the hardest questions for me to understand. Why? How much authority is there in Jesus' name? His name can heal all. But what he chooses, I don't know. And what I try to find out is out of my relationship with him is say, in this case, Jesus, is your name going to heal? Do you want to heal this person? Are you going to raise this person? Are you going to resolve this problem? Or do you have something else going on that I don't know? But I want to know the name of Christ, not to use it in vain, not to use it just for what I want. James actually speaks to that. You pray for things because of what you want. I can't use Jesus' name for that. Sometimes I pray for this, pray for that. Sometimes I'm double-minded. I don't get anything because I don't know the name of Christ in that. I don't know where Jesus really wants to do things. I want to put it as my stamp of approval, not his. This is the power of Jesus' name. Hebrews 1, 3 to 4. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. There's people that seek to pray to angels. Why? There's people that seek to pray to a human person to be an intermediary. Why? We've been given the name of Jesus to seek. There's no higher name to go to. This is the full extent of Jesus' name in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. This is the name of Jesus Christ. Those who use Jesus' name to curse now, one day they will pronounce the name of Jesus Christ and they will bow their knee to him before they go off into eternity of hell and suffering, lake of fire. Every knee will bow and every knee will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. The trouble is we have a whole world out there that's proclaiming Jesus in a whole nother way as a curse. And we have the name of Jesus to see people come to Christ. We have the name of Jesus to declare the good news of life everlasting. How will we use Jesus Christ's name in the future? How dependent I am on his name. There's other times I would like to mix Jesus' name and my name. So if I go to the bank, I might want to say, well, I need some money based on Jesus' name and Perry's name. That doesn't work either. That's why I like the book about George Mueller. Because he kept on over and over through the years, he found out where he would want to step in sometimes where God would say, no, it's me and me alone. Everything you've received is based on my name and my name alone. In our culture, we want to be dependent on ourselves and other things. That's the way our culture is. It's built into us. When we start from kids, we're taught that, to be independent. We're not taught to lay down everything and depend on Jesus' name. We just have so many ways of trying to step up and do things. And that's not what we're called to do. I think the inspiration for our prayer is to ask Jesus, what do you want to do in your name? What do you want to do in your name? Who are the people that you want to see saved in your name? Where do I declare your name and your name is powerful to do above and beyond anything that I can think or ask. But where do I go where you call me to go and declare your name? Is it in the prison, like James is doing? Is it out on the streets? Is somebody in the grocery store? Is it to your children? Your children know the name of the Lord is powerful through your knowing of Jesus Christ. That's a challenge. That's a real challenge. We are protected by the power of his name. We read that back in John 17, 9 through 12. We have the name of Jesus Christ when we got saved. Do I have to question my salvation? No, I don't. Because when I called the name of Jesus 40-some years ago, I asked him to be my Savior. Has he let me down? No, he's not. His name has been secure, and I can stamp on that I know that I know that I know. There's these other areas I'm still working through that I need to know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ's name is valuable. So when we came up here and prayed today, we want to pray what Jesus would do and see his seal on it. When we seek on these all these prayer things that we're doing through the months, it's not just, we're not just praying just for the sake of saying words to God and hope we get all the different things in. One of the things we want to do is we want to know Christ. We want to know the power of his name. We want to see God glorified through the power of Jesus Christ's name. That's what we want. Let's pray. Father, I just confess my own lacking of showing the power of your name in my life. I know all these years that, yes, I called in your name. And I know you've saved me. I know that completely, but I also know that there's other things I've put in the way of wanting to know your name and your name declared and your name to work out different things in my life. I haven't trusted in your name for all things. I've trusted my own ways sometimes. I've trusted my own resources. I trust in my mind to think of things, of ways to resolve things. But I do not trust in you like I should trust, that I need to trust. One day I'm going to know you face to face, and all these other things that I do are going to be completely gone. And what you want to do before I get to that place is say, trust me now. Learn to know me now. So when I see you face to face, I'm not surprised by the power of your name. I'm not surprised by who you are. So Father, I ask that today for us. I ask, Father, open our eyes to see you, Jesus. Open our eyes to see you. As the disciples walked with you 3 years and knew you and knew the power of your name, I ask you to do that with us. Let us walk in relationship with you. Let us walk in the knowledge of who you are and your name. And Father, I pray that the people of the world will be able to look to your people and say, in the Christian, I see God's name, I see Jesus' name, and I see his stamp behind what they do and what they say. I ask you to do it for your own glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for a benediction. I don't have a specific scripture verse, but this is what I'll give you. What I have, I give you in Jesus' name. Jesus, you said if we'd ask anything in your name, you would do it for us. In the past, you said we wouldn't ask in your name. You said now that what you've done, we can go to you because of your name. You said we can go to the Father through you because of what you've done. I ask that this happen this week in this people, as they go out in the highways and byways, Father, that they would declare your name, whether it be a circumstance, Father, whether it be a specific life issue, Father, whether it be a specific prayer for something. Father, I pray that your name would be declared, you would be glorified, and we would see the results of your name in those situations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To learn more about our church or to download more teachings and resources, please visit bayridgechristianchurch.org.